It's a 2019 Doctor Who resolution. Up next on Don't Blink from Golden Spiral Media, celebrating 10 years of podcasting.
This is your Don't Blink podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the BBC series known as Doctor Who. Sharing thoughts, theories, and listener feedback are your hosts, Wayne Henderson and Jada Wilkerson.
Welcome back to your Don't Blink Doctor Who podcast, and Happy New Year! I'm Jada Wilkerson, Whovian, comics enthusiast, and storyteller.
And I'm Wayne Henderson, your voice acting Green Bay Packers fan, and I'm excited to see 2019 unfold, even without any more new episodes of Doctor Who.
Oh.
I'm sure the hype, even if we're not getting new episodes until a year from now, I'm sure the hype will start around June, so we have that to look forward to. On this episode of Don't Blink, we're going to review the New Year's Day special Doctor Who episode called Resolution.
And we'll share a ton of your great listener thoughts and theories. And even though there won't be another new episode of Doctor Who for a long time, there's still plenty of great conversations to be had. Keep your Whovian fix going by joining our Don't Blink Doctor Who Facebook group. Now let's share what we loved and maybe a couple of things we didn't about Resolution. I enjoyed the way this opened. I liked this, the way it opened, the little bit of narration that went on and everything, and the scenes of the ancient battle.
It did look really good. It took a while for me to figure out, okay, I know this is Doctor Who, and I can tell they've invested some money in this, in having these three warring factions all team up to beat a very evil foe and then go to corners of the earth to hide away parts of it so it can't ever live again, supposedly. So I suspended any disbelief that I might have had. And I thought it was interesting, though, because this episode didn't feel like any of the other episodes this season. I don't even think we had the intro, at least here in America, the theme music or anything, did we?
I don't remember seeing it. And you're right, it did. It felt totally different.
And I'm sure that once we do see the episode, you know, later on, when it appears on Amazon Prime or something, we'll probably get the full treatment. So maybe the rest of the world got to see the intro theme music and all that one last time for a year, but that's kind of beside the point. But that ancient battle, and did you know right away, because of all the spoilers, what was going on?
You know, actually, I have been so busy, I remained 100% spoiler-free. I had no clue.
Wow, that's not easy to do for a special, you know, that we had to wait almost 3 weeks to get. That's cool.
Yeah, I was surprised that it worked. And I really didn't realize what it was like far into the episode, because like I said, I wasn't spoiled on it. So I thought it was some kind of new alien. It just took me a second to realize, oh my God, are they really going to do a Dalek? Cause I was thinking, you know, Chibnall said there'd be no returning villains from past episodes or past seasons. And I actually believed him.
I know they were kind of splitting hairs, because maybe he said just not in 2018, and technically now we're 2019, or maybe they said not this first season, and maybe this New Year's special is technically not part of season 11. Details.
You know, I think you're absolutely right about that, because when I went to watch this episode, I had purchased the season through Google Play, and it wasn't included.
Not even at this point, after the fact? Oh, bummer.
Yeah. So I guess they really are treating it like a separate entity. And for all intents and purposes, it played out like a separate entity. Like you said, it didn't feel exactly like the rest of the season.
And how convenient that after that one portion of the Dalek was taken back to England, it did not make it fully to its destination to be buried. And so, of course, we get to go back to the Sheffield area one more time for a battle to save the planet.
Why not? That's where it all started, right?
Everything seems to center around, you know, England, which makes sense, and Sheffield, especially for this season of Doctor Who. I would have thought it could have had a whole different flair, though, if by some chance they could have had this episode mostly take place if it was one of the other two portions of the warring faction, if it was their part of the Dalek that reconstituted itself through ultraviolet lights and came back to life. I'm sure that would throw a wrench in the whole Ryan and Graham part of the storyline, but it would have added an even more international flair. But at the same time, it is what it is. We know what's going on, and those hapless scientists just happen to let it come to life, and away it crawls.
And for this first part, I was really down. I was really here for it. I was thinking, wow, this is great. This is interesting. They've built such a great story with three separate parts. The one guy that didn't really make it. You know, everything you said, the creature, as I was calling it at the moment, the creature was, I can't remember how far into the story before the creature really kind of resembled a Dalek, but,
I'm wondering if that's possibly the reason why what I was not overly excited about this part of the episode with the two scientists and it crawling away and sticking on the wall and then taking over that one scientist, I believe her name was Lynn possibly, and then controlling her by being on her back and having her do a police chase and all of these adventures and excitement. And because I knew that it was going to be a Dalek, but it didn't seem as much like the ooey gooey insides of a Dalek that we've seen a few times before. So I know this is new showrunner, new everything else, so they can take whatever creative license they have to take. But I thought it was a little action hero-y, this whole opening scene. Though it was, I will give them this, it was effectively violent enough, unfortunately, for the folks that did not survive.
Yeah, there was lots of death. But, you know, they established from the get-go in this season, death is a thing in this particular iteration. That being said, though, I thought that what they had was the making of quite a spectacular story. I love the idea of a Dalek outside of its suit, because that's what it is. It's just a containment suit, and they actually are individual creatures, and the Daleks are overdue for a facelift. They're overdue for a reimagining of who and what they are. And I think they walked a pretty thin line. They tried to reinvent what a Dalek could be without straying too far from what they actually are. Now, the Recon Scout Dalek, that's interesting. It would have been interesting if they had said this was something new and it was something super awesome, but they kind of just said, oh, it's a Recon Scout Dalek, and then they didn't say it was special or it could do anything extraordinary. Or maybe they did and I missed it, but that kind of fell flat to me because, yeah, those things are squishy outside of those suits.
Yeah, it's not as fragile as it looks, though. And I know that during this off season, since it's going to be an especially long off season, I do need to watch a lot more of the classic Who and get caught up and at least watch all of the old Dalek stories there, because I've never heard of a Recon Scout Dalek, which I guess this might be the oldest Dalek technically that we've ever seen. I've never heard of them in the history of Doctor Who. And this one, you mentioned special, Jada. This one can rebuild itself from just random rusty parts and still be able to fly.
Well, you know, there were two things about that. And I was furiously trying to hand wave and headcanon it as I watched it. I can understand the ability of the Dalek to survive. They are immortal. They will not die so easily. As we saw in The Magician's Apprentice and the two-parter that was in season 10 with Clara, and how even the dead Daleks, the sludge, came back to life if energized. So there's something to be said for the, you know, the durability of the Daleks. But the instant teleportation, like piece to piece, I'm not sure about. And I can go for the building of the suits, because they showed her in the Black Archives, and she came out, Lynn, the scientist, when she was possessed by the Daleks, she went to the Black Archives, came out with the weapon, but she had several cases. And I guess all it would take would be several cases of the pieces that they needed, or the Dalek needed, to build the suit. I mean, as far as computer, maybe a case of ammunition. So I guess I could technically see it, super advanced species, but it would have to be some like really great technology in those cases, like nanobots that instantly turn something into something else, because yeah, that thing was pretty decked out and had abilities that just seemed weird for a foundry in Sheffield.
That's only been, you know, and a Dalek that's only been alive again for, you know, half a day or something. But I like how the Doctor recognizes what she's up against right away and tries to call UNIT, because I'm like, oh, awesome, we're going to get some UNIT action. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. But UNIT's no more, Jada. UNIT, at least for now, is furloughed.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I was excited when she said, well, we're going to get help. I was like, ooh, this could be interesting. This is a New Year special, so maybe they're going to pull out some crazy stops. And they said UNIT, and I was happy with it. I was like, oh, she's calling UNIT. We're going to see Kate Lethbridge-Stewart. This is going to be great. And then nothing. From what I understand, I guess that they were trying to make a point about Brexit or something. I don't know. It was over my head.
We have some listener feedback about that later in this episode, so stay tuned for that. But they kind of left the door open that UNIT could return if budgets allow, but instead we get the GCHQ.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, the what?
The GCHQ.
Wow. Yeah, that was something, or was it? I'm not sure. It seemed like a mess to me. Is it real, the GCHQ?
It is the Government Communications Headquarters at gchq.gov.uk. So apparently it is a real thing, but their building on their official website does look a little bit different. Looks even more like the Apple campus in Cupertino than the one in the show. But I like how our new rusty Dalek comes through the ceiling, breaks through the entire roof of the GCHQ, and there's not really that much of a mess, considering, but hand-waving, whatever.
There was a lot of hand-waving this episode, I know.
And in a different fashion than what we normally get on Doctor Who, the Doctor is practically inviting everybody on board. I mean, the TARDIS has all kinds of room, bigger on the inside, yada, yada, yada. So all sorts of people are invited on board, Lynn and the other scientist. And then, of course, we finally get to meet Ryan's dad, and even he's invited on board.
Okay, well, first, how do you feel about her just, hey, get in, we're going somewhere?
It doesn't seem right in that, you know, it's not something you want to advertise to people that you just met that may not understand or may go tell the entire world about it if they live through this harrowing adventure. I think there's too many people that know about the TARDIS at this point.
You know, in the beginning I started to feel that way, but then I think I changed my mind because I realized that they're trying to set a new precedent. They're trying to do what some people, we hardly all ever agree, especially us Whovians.
That's true. That's very true.
But I think they're trying to do something that some of us have wanted for a long time, to strip away the mystery of aliens. How many times can the Earth be invaded, or aliens, or higher technology, or strange happenings be put in front of the world's face before they agree that something's going on, something's out there, or not everything is as it should be. So I'm hoping that's what they're trying to do, because I kind of like that approach. I like the idea that, well, the world's a little more educated now, and it understands that there are things out there. I can't remember. I was trying to remember, but I've only saw the episode once. But there's a line in this episode where someone mentions something about other happenings, other aliens and other things happening. And it's just like, oh, okay, so the world is familiar with other things going on. And I think it's kind of a step in that direction. I'm hoping. Anyway, I liked it in the end once I really thought about it.
But it's interesting that nobody seems to remember all of the other times that the Daleks have been on Earth over the past 100 years or so, you know, World War II and all of the other adventures the Daleks have done there. But, you know, that's okay. What I really want to know, Jada, is how did you feel about Ryan's dad, Aaron, and Chekhov's microwave oven?
Ooh, that oven.
Did you get one for Christmas?
No, I didn't. It was definitely on the list, but gee, somehow I just didn't get that oven, which is a microwave too, because it's both.
For some nice magic.
I'm not certain how I felt about Ryan's dad, or well, I am certain how I felt about his dad being on the TARDIS, though. That I did not like.
In what way?
In the wrong way. In the gatekeeping way of like, hey, this is mine and you shouldn't be here playing with it. Okay, so the story and the plot said that he should be there, and maybe it turned out okay, but I really felt like he needed to earn that, considering, I mean, the history of the character. I guess I don't want people that I don't really like that much on the TARDIS.
Yeah, he's, you know, he is family, but at the same time, he's barely come back into the picture. Can he be trusted with this information? And, you know, conveniently, he still has that microwave oven with him on board. You know, like in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, you know, another Doctor Who alumni, you always make sure you carry your towel with you. And that's a lot easier. You know, just fold it up and carry your towel. But a microwave oven, that's commitment right there.
And you know, I was wondering about that, because when he walked through the doors of the TARDIS, I believe Ryan had it, handed it off to Graham. I was trying to figure out why. I can understand mindlessly carrying what you have with you and placing it down somewhere. We're talking about a large microwave. And if you ended up doing that with a large microwave, that's fine. But once you enter the doors of the TARDIS, that's kind of a tight fit. You're going to be aware of like, oh, wait, I'm carrying something. Why would you continue to carry it onto the TARDIS?
It's worth a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
And as if we didn't already know, by the time he carried that into the TARDIS, we knew that, okay, this thing's going to be very important very soon, because there's no other reason for it. Strange that the, you know, after everything happens, the doctor makes it sound like the fact that Ryan's dad, Aaron, brings that microwave oven with him, all that simple act and how they were able to use the oven, that pretty much makes up for all of the terrible parenting that Aaron may have done to Ryan over the years.
Okay. I have to think of this episode in a certain way. But on first thought, it's, oh, geez, we didn't really escape his dad, because I was, you know, he didn't show up last season. So I was like, all right, maybe we won't even have to really deal with that. Maybe they'll just get over it. But I know they brought him back for this. And at first thought, it's, oh, geez, this guy, what a jerk, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But to be honest, and this might sound weird and a little bit controversial, but maybe he shouldn't be the target of so much of our angst. You know what I'm saying? When I say our angst, I've noticed in several different, you know, Whovian circles, just listening to comments and whatnot. Actually, I've heard some vitriol toward like the guy's dad, and I've heard people dislike him and not like and hate him and stuff. But when it really comes down to it, he's just another guy who's made mistakes. Because we never heard anything truly evil from him. True. Like, he wasn't abusive. He wasn't like doing drugs and selling everything the family owned to get money or anything like that. So the only real problem we have is that he was simply absent. That leaves a whole long possible list of reasons that he wasn't around. Does that really make him evil? It makes him a bad parent, but it doesn't really make him evil. I think it's important that that we kind of view it that way as well, because to be quite honest, there's probably a lot of dads that like Doctor Who that are watching Doctor Who right now that may not really be in their kids' lives as much as they want to or should be. And they aren't inherently evil, which is weird. I mean, it's not weird that they aren't evil, but it's weird that the show would make a statement like that, because the statement it's been making, or it has made for all of Series 11 just about, is that some of the greatest evil we've encountered has been humans. You know, mankind can be pretty dastardly. But I think in this episode, they were trying to say that he wasn't evil per se. I don't know. I kind of understand what they were saying, but I kind of don't like the way they did it.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, I certainly didn't picture him as evil, even how they described him. Like you said, he hadn't. Nothing specific was brought up other than him being absent. And he seems like a likable guy. And like you said, he's not out doing, you know, drug deals and terrible things on the streets. He, you know, he's trying to make a living with microwave ovens now, which I don't think Jodie Whittaker's doctor ever paid him for that oven. She totally took it apart, was able to vanquish the Dalek yet again. So in the end, I like the fact that, Ryan and Aaron, their relationship is healed. And the fact that at the same time, it helps save planet Earth yet again. I got to give props to Aaron, though. He has some amazingly strong fingers, because the way he was hanging on to the walls of the TARDIS while the pull, trying to pull him out of the TARDIS into that exploding supernova or whatever it was that the Dalek was being sent to. The fact he was able to hang on, man, strong fingers.
He was more than able to hang on.
That was amazing.
He was able to hang on with one hand, because he had to grab Ryan's hand.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was trying to figure the physics out for that. But
tiny-whiny physics, whizzics. For a minute, I really thought this is where we lose one of the fam, one of the companions. I thought this was going to be the end of Ryan as well as his father.
Oh yeah. They telegraphed that totally. They were trying to make us think, and you know, part of that was the music as well. The swelling and the sadness and the excitement and all of the music really played into it.
Yeah. And although quite a few people did die, none of our core died. I did find it interesting that, the doctor, she was really into killing that Dalek and sending him off into the supernova. Earlier this season, though, just some giant spiders. She didn't really want to hurt them at all. But this Dalek, man, she was like, hey, you're going into the sun, man.
I absolutely love that. And I think that distinction needed to be made, because those spiders were exactly that, just those spiders. This is one of the deadliest killing machines in the universe. And for a long time now, it's become, oh, it's a Dalek. That's cute. Oh, look, he's got a little plunger for an arm. That doesn't really speak of the deadliest creature in the universe. And a lot of the doctors were treating him that way. Like, oh, look, aren't you guys cute? I like the idea of the recon scout Dalek.
Right. Yeah.
Being mobile and being scary, being an actual threat inside or out of the suit, the idea of that is great. I'm not sure about the execution of it, but the idea of that is great. I want to bring the terror of the Daleks back. I want to think Dalek and think, oh my God, that's a creepy killing machine. Not, oh, the doctor's going to go punch these guys one time and they'll be gone for at least another season or two.
I thought it was interesting that throughout the entire episode, it was just this one scout Dalek that it did not successfully, as far as we know, summon more Daleks to come. And he did have a very final death. So it was really a standalone episode, even from the viewpoint of, you know, we're not going to be invaded by the Daleks. Well, maybe not this season, but it very well could happen again. But at the same time, excitement and threat and danger. Did you have some other final thoughts on the episode, Jada?
Yeah, you know, what I found interesting, at first I was not too thrilled with several parts of the story. Some of it felt almost young adultish, even though I know they're aiming for a younger audience blatantly with a lot of the things they do now. I don't know if that was Chibnall's writing or not, but then I kind of headcanoned it as a certain amount of, I don't know, cheesiness replacing cheesiness. When I say that, I mean, we're used to them cramming a lot of the Christmassy stuff in because it's normally a Christmas special. This time, there was no excess holiday to cram into it because it's just New Year's. You say Happy New Year's. They did it 19 times in a row. So I kind of feel like the beginning narration and the end narration, especially the end where it felt like so much sunshine just being blasted in your face. Even though that's not a bad thing, it felt slightly over the top. But I'm just going to add that up to it being a holiday special. And the differences between this and the series as, you know, simply a holiday special. This will stand alone. This was just here to be like, hey, happiness and a Dalek.
And a Dalek. Like you do.
Yeah.
For myself, I didn't care for the two young scientists near the beginning of the episode at all. The ones that found the Dalek part. And throughout this entire episode, I'm sorry to say, a lot of the dialogue was just like my eyes were rolling into the back of the my head. But I just thought that that was just so awkward and weird. But on the plus side, the scenes with Ryan and Graham and Ryan's dad were good. Even if they went on maybe a little too long in some of the scenes, they were good. And the visual effects, the music, the look, and the sound design in this episode were all amazing. Those were the best parts of the whole episode. I mean, the look of the Dalek, the direction and the look of the shots and the music, everything visually, you know, not so much the story, but the rest of the episode was top notch, which when I roll it all together into one, makes me give this episode 6 out of 10 intruder alerts. I mean, doorbells. Though I guess technically that's the same a lot of the time.
That's great. That was a great scene. So you liked it a little bit more than meh.
Yes. Six.
Six. Yeah, that's almost yeah. Well, you know, I liked it. I really want to see it a second time because I think that my opinion might change a little bit. But I gave it 8.
Whoa.
Again, a lot of that's hand waving, a lot of that's headcanon, but I gave it 8 out of 10 desperate, deadly Daleks.
I think that sums it up quite well, Jada. I think it does. Very nice. 8 out of 10. That's very, very strong indeed. Now, right before we dig into listener feedback, we normally play a promo for another podcast here on the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. But I don't believe we have one for a show called Central City Underground. And I happen to know one of the hosts of that show.
Do you now?
So, well, Jada, tell us more about the Central City Underground on Golden Spiral Media, what that entails, and what new episodes we could expect coming very soon.
Oh, that entails a lot, Wayne. We have a great discussion group on Central City Underground on Facebook. Lots of great people giving us lots of great discussions and theories. We discuss everything Flash. What we've got coming up is, I believe, the 15th. The season will start back. We've been on hiatus. And we're going to get some answers, I hope, to some questions that a lot of the watchers have been wanting to know about the plot that's going on. It's going to be really interesting. I suggest that if you like The Flash, and if you like the CW TV show The Flash, then you pop one over there and give us a look-see. See if you want to join.
As well, I think they should. Absolutely. That's the Central City Underground at GoldenSpiralMedia.com. Now, with the results from our Don't Blink poll on Twitter, at Doctor Who GSM, as well as in our Facebook community group, I pondered the question of, what did you like best about the Dalek in this resolution episode of Doctor Who? And after combining the Facebook and Twitter results, came out like this. 31%, the highest percentage of the votes, actually thought their favorite part of the Dalek was the history that we learned about this lone recon scout Dalek. Very surprising, I thought, that came in first. And then in second place with 24% of the votes, the flaming death of this Dalek was their favorite part of the Dalek. Gotcha there. And then we've got a three-way tie for third place. 15% of the people that voted said the new exciting things that the recon Dalek can do was their favorite part. Another 15% said the look of this rusty Dalek was their favorite part of the Dalek. And listener Fred added this option into the Facebook group, which ended up getting another 15% of the vote. Fred added, the Dalek adapted without its armor was the favorite part of the Dalek in this episode. So there's
very interesting.
Yes, so many different ways to look at this Dalek and find a favorite thing about it. And some other comments about the Dalek that were on Twitter. Ben Williams posted on Twitter, a brief reminder that the Daleks in Doctor Who have been defeated before by being pushed out a window, a robot Anne Robinson, a paintball, Moffat's writing, a haunted house ride, and a baseball bat. So a microwave is not the stupidest thing a Dalek has been beaten by.
True words, Ben Williams. Very true words. You know, Michael Vickers on Twitter says, Sheffield is home to one of the most advanced manufacturing parks in the world. So why did stupid Dalek pitch up at a farmyard and make the shell out of used tractor parts? Unbelievable. Didn't know that. Sheffield is home of one of the most advanced manufacturing parks in the world.
And somehow that knowledge was not known to the Dalek either. Yeah, otherwise, can you imagine what that Dalek could have come up with if he would have gone to one of the more advanced areas of Sheffield?
Oh my goodness, yeah. That could have been very interesting. We won't even get into that. Thank you, Mike.
I think that's something that could be touched on with fan fiction, and we'll be staying tuned for that. Now, let's check in with the voicemail line. You can give us a call at area code 304-837-2278 or by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback like Jeff Gentry did.
Hello, Wayne and Jada. It's Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for resolution. Well, this was interesting. I just felt like there were too many commercials in it, and it really disrupted the flow. It will be interesting to watch this on iTunes without any commercials to see if it's a little more put together. I enjoyed the aspect of the Dalek taking over the bodies and how frightening that made it appear. But once it was in its shell, it seemed a little too, I don't know, convenient in some ways. I liked the storyline with Ryan and his dad. I thought that was good. But overall, I think it could have done without the commercials and maybe be 2 hours long to have a little more consistency. And the fact that the Dalek is supposedly burn up in space. We know that that's not an excuse, but that just feels a little like a cheat that you bring in this classic villain, you make it feel villainy again, and then you say, okay, we're done with it. It was just for Christmas special, or sorry, the New Year special. So I don't know. It was okay, but not the best episode of this season. And man, it's going to be a long wait till we get more New Who. All right, thanks guys for all your work this season. X-Force 11 out.
Thank you, Jeff, for all of your great feedback this season. Yeah, that's interesting. Too many commercials disrupts the flow of this particular episode. Again, as I said, I purchased this season, so I didn't actually watch it broadcast when it was broadcast. So for me, the flow was still there. I wonder, did they play the full hour on broadcast? Do you know, Wayne?
I'm not sure. I have a feeling that, you know, on the BBC in the UK, it was probably just one nonstop episode that was like a movie. Because even here, I believe it came out to what, 75 or 80 minutes. It was a longer than normal episode. But Jeff, I totally feel you. The commercials were insane. That not only were the commercial breaks long, or at least seemed that way because we wanted to get back to Doctor Who, but there were so many of them. And because of how, I mean, the breaks, there were so many of the breaks, and because of how Doctor Who is filmed, and this episode especially seemed more like a movie as far as there weren't natural spots, because out of nowhere, with almost no warning at all of a sudden, more commercials, and they would just start right up, and it was just jarring. I know that, you know, since the BBC is funded by the folks in Europe or in the UK, they get, you know, the premium treatment, and deservedly so. So I'm hoping that it's more consistent when we do get it on Amazon Prime or wherever else it may end up for us in the future, or maybe even on iTunes. But yeah, I hear you there. And Jeff, you wanted it to be an even longer episode to maybe allow more time for a flow. I could see that.
I could see that too, because that would allow us to keep in all of, and it was kind of getting gratuitous after a while, Aaron, keep in Ryan's father, and then actually build out the Dalek story a little bit more. Because it seems like we should have gotten more about the people who were guarding the other parts. And they could have done more, I think. I think you're right about that, Jeff.
We also heard from listener Samuel, and he's got some great thoughts and theories to share with y'all. So take it away, Sam.
Hey there, Wayne and Jada. Samuel Lewis here from Going Through Who over at tscn.tv/GTW. So our one and only episode of 2019. Resolution of the Daleks. I mean, resolutions. Sorry, couldn't resist that joke. Anyway, interesting, just an interesting story all around. I liked this. This Dalek story kind of reminds me a bit, well, first of all, the Daleks had to be the first thing to come back, right? It is the titular enemy of the Doctor. So if we're going by the, you know, work people in this slowly, the next thing you have to introduce them to after all those other concepts is the Daleks themselves, right? So we have this new class of Dalek, a reconnaissance Dalek, and it does something rather, I'm going to say disgusting. Let me put it this way. Normally, whenever we watch Doctor Who around here, we eat. Luckily, I had finished eating by the time the real action began, because I probably wouldn't have been able to carry on eating. Taking some of its tentacles and plunging them into the spinal stem of someone, because let's face it, that's what it was doing, in order to control them. That's new. But then again, with this new type of Dalek, we were told, very specifically by the Doctor, that yeah, it can do stuff that other Daleks can't do. The reconnaissance Dalek also appears to have new weaponry. It's got a different type of... Which, by the way, all around, the design of the Dalek, I loved. I absolutely adored. I like this new look. Now, that may just be for that Dalek and that Dalek alone, but I would actually love if Daleks kind of looked that way more as the new series progresses on. But this episode reminds me a bit of how they handled it in the Christopher Eccleston era. We need to introduce the concept of a Dalek. So, one singular Dalek, because if you show what one Dalek can do, then whenever a whole bunch of Daleks come into play later on, as inevitably they will, everyone understands just what a dire moment this is, because we've seen what one Dalek can do, but a whole army of them, oh my god. You know, so it seems like they're taking the same tact there, and it worked last time. Can't see why it won't work this time. But yeah, this was interesting, the idea of them, of a Dalek being beaten by an army of humans, split apart, and then we dig it up and away we go, right? interesting things. Of course, we got resolution of Ryan's dad. He ends up showing up in the mix, and you kind of knew it was coming because of the way that Graham opened the door and went, nope, and just shut it. I went, oh my god, that's Ryan's dad. You know, like, it just snapped into my head immediately, obviously. And then it just carried on from there, and it was great how he got integrated into the mix. So there is going to be one person on Earth that is connected to the Friends that knows about the TARDIS and everything. That could lead to some interesting stuff, right? And just... Also, along with that, there were other tiny little connections. Like, for instance, I loved the Brexit joke. And for anyone that's not quite digging what I'm putting down, the whole thing of funding being pulled, so UNIT is currently on suspension. That's hilarious to me that he would make a joke like that. That's brilliant. And unintentionally a joke that us Americans can get right now, given our current political climate. I won't weigh on either side of that. I'm just saying that it's hilarious that at the moment, unintentionally, even Americans can get that joke. So we don't get UNIT because funding is currently unavailable because of the whole Brexit mess. That's cute. Yeah, that they would throw that in there. And just the Dalek itself, I love that instead of a plunger, it's got this claw thing. I wouldn't mind if that was a change, because partially I you don't know how many times I have to defend a Dalek all because there's a plunger attached to the front of it. I usually pull up that one scene where the scientist tries to look at Dalek's plunger out of curiosity, and it proceeds to cave his skull in. That's usually what I use for the defense, by sucking all of the pressure out of the guy's skull using the plunger. But I wouldn't mind not having to defend a plunger. That claw seemed to be a bit more functional and everything. At first, I thought it was two weapons. I was like, oh no, it's one of the more upgraded weapons, Daleks. Unfortunately, I was also correct, because then some of the Dalek bumps, as one sketch jokingly called it, retracted back, and there were missiles. A Dalek fired missiles, guys! So cool. So I was sitting there going, I should not be gleeful about the butchering of all these soldiers, and yet the Dalek's got new stuff, and I'm kind of stoked. So, yeah, it was interesting, and just the way everything was taken care of. It had a good resolution. Unintentional pun. I almost didn't catch myself saying it. And all in all, just a good story, in my opinion. I know we've had a bit of interesting debate on our Facebook group lately about this, but I think that this episode sort of shows some of the things that people have been wanting to see in Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. Not necessarily the things that I think we even have to have in a Doctor, right? But it has shown some of that stuff that perhaps might calm some people down and let them know that, oh no, yeah, this Doctor is totally capable of this stuff because, oh yeah. She did a lot of that in this episode while still being herself. It wasn't like she became another Doctor. So all in all, I think we've got even deeper of what happens when the Doctor gets dark. The best way to find out is to put a Dalek in front of the Doctor. So we got to see that, and oh, did it pay in dividends. So anyway, this is the last episode, so I will not see you guys until next year. I mean, soulless plug, if you guys do need some Doctor Who content, you know where to find me. But otherwise, I look forward to talking to you guys next year. And of course, we will continue the conversations in the Facebook group. Fantastic group, all of you. Wonderful chaps and ladies, all of you. Only some of you will get that. See you guys. And, well, see you next year.
Well, thank you, Samuel, for all of your feedback this year. That was great. That was great. Yeah. We are very happy for you, Samuel, that you weren't eating when you watched the Dalek put its tentacles in the spinal column of Lynn. That was disgusting. Yes, yes.
Imagine if anybody was eating, you know, spaghetti or chow mein or
something. Calamari.
Or the, oh my. Yes, you have to be prepared on Doctor Who. Well, actually, with almost any television show these days, what you're eating. Don't watch and don't drink and drive, and don't watch and eat.
Right. New rules for the new year.
Yeah, Samuel even called it disgusting. And Sam, thanks for all of your feedback, and thanks for your Going Through Who podcast, going through the classic episodes. I always listen, and now I need to watch some of the episodes as well and get caught up on the classic Who. A good point, Samuel, about how we see just one Dalek and how much fear and death and destruction can be tied around just one Dalek. Imagine how freaked out people are going to be when we see 2 or 3 or 10 or 1,000 Daleks all at one time, which is bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, that'll be great. And that's why I think they did a good job at least conveying the possible scariness of a Dalek. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and Samuel really liked the Dalek claw instead of the plunger, which on one hand, practicality, yes, it's easier to defend a Dalek with a claw than one with a plunger. But at the same time, the claw almost seemed a little too R2-D2. For me.
I didn't think that, but I can see that. Yes, yes.
But at the same the plunger, that's a whole different slew of jokes.
Yeah. It's somehow I think it might be half a step above a plunger.
Yes.
But you know, it really did sound like Samuel was practically rooting for the Daleks in this one.
I know, practically rooting for the bad guy, Samuel.
I mean, it was a beautiful action scene, though. I mean, when the Dalek, unfortunately, murdered all of those humans. But, it was glorious. It looked pretty.
Yeah, the Dalek took out, 2 police officers and a few military personnel. And for a while, we thought there was a chance that Lynn was not going to be able to come back from this. But she made it. Thank goodness.
And you know what else is great? Other than this episode, emailed feedback from our listeners. We appreciate it. All of it. And you can send it to us at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, much like Aaron has. Aaron says, I'm with Ryan. The best New Year celebrations are in Australia. The Doctor giving Ryan's dad a hard time in the opening was great. Although the winning moment goes to Graham, who simply said, nope, and closed the door upon seeing him. I really loved how assertive the Doctor is being in this opening. I wish she had been a bit more like this full season, as again, she felt kind of like a bystander in the regular season a lot of the times. I loved Ryan standing up for himself with his dad. I will say, though, for as great as the scene was, I do hope the special wraps up with Ryan's family plot. I do hope this special wraps up Ryan's family plot. And next season, we see the arc revolve around Yaz, because she hasn't really got as much personal time, it's felt, as Graham and Ryan did this season due to their plot. Yes to Dr. flexing her tech skills. More of this next season, and less Sonic. Nice callback to UNIT in this episode. A lot of awesome action moments. I'm so glad they didn't go cliche with Ryan's dad and have him sacrifice himself to save the others. Overall, good episode. And I'd give it a 10. Wow. She gave it a 10. Aaron gave it a 10.
Amazing. Awesome. Aaron, thank you so much for all of your feedback all season. And, you know, the emails and comments on the blog posts at goldenspiralmedia.com. Amazing stuff. A 10. Wow. Great points in there, though, how it seemed to me, at least early in the season, it was mostly Yaz focused, but at least for a couple of episodes. But you're right, near the last 3, 4, 5 episodes of this season, it really hasn't had much Yaz going on. So I have a feeling Yaz is going to get, you know, a big focus at the beginning of next season, because as everybody reviews these episodes and thinks about them, and hopefully Chibnall and the writers find ways to improve next season with the dialogue and the writing and everything, that they'll also realize, you know, we did kind of drop the ball on Yaz there the second half of the season. And that's bound to happen. In fact, I'm sure they're already making plans. Comic-Con preparations for next, was it? Comic-Con's usually in July in San Diego, I think, or early August. That's probably well underway. The hype machine will be kicking in no time. We also got some great feedback as well in the Don't Blink Facebook group and on Twitter. Neil Ottenstein says, the best Jody episode yet. I was totally surprised by it being a Dalek controlling Lynn, though I knew it did leave the sewers through her power before they revealed that part. Just about nonstop excitement. And one thing about the episode is that it's totally built on what went on this season, all of what our characters have gone through.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. You know, also Todd Schwartzberg had to say, as far as the Dalek is concerned, it was tough for me to get past the quote-unquote venom of it all. Cool that it was a different kind of Dalek, older than all the rest. Rebuilding the shell scene was cool. Mostly, I like Jody as Doctor with her reactions. The heart-to-hearts with Ryan, Graham, Aaron were great. I liked the solution to the Dalek problem, even though it was a Deus Ex microwave.
Nice one, Todd.
But we got resolution with Aaron out of it. We got reconnection with Aaron out of it. I heard after the fact that UNIT losing funding was a Brexit joke. Being from the States, that didn't really land for me, but was cool. But was a cool way of saying they can handle it on their own, because you saw how rubbish that other military organization was. Yeah, I didn't really get the Brexit part either, but Deus Ex microwave, my God, that's great.
That's one of the best new sci-fi slogans yet. So thank you very much, Todd. And yeah, there was a bit of a venomy thing going on there with the Dalek, but such as it is. Oh, thank you, everybody, for your feedback. Keep those Doctor Who conversations going in the Don't Blink Facebook group while we, quote-unquote, patiently wait for next season. Some of the other excellent conversations happening right now include an article ranking the Doctor Who companions.
And Todd posted about his Doctor Who rewatch observations.
And yet another article about Doctor Who's TV ratings, this one claiming that they are up overall.
That and much more. You can also follow us on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM, Well, you can follow Wayne at Wayne Henderson. Or you can follow me at Stories Voice. Remember to subscribe to Don't Blink in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Also, check out all the links and things to be discussed in the show notes at don'tblinkpodcast.com.
And it's been quite a season. Jada, thank you very much for coming on board the Don't Blink TARDIS traveling Whovian machine known as the Don't Blink Podcast. It's been great podcasting with you all this season.
Yeah, thank you so much. I would like to truly express my gratitude in allowing me to do this. I have had a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to more Jody next season.
I was going to say coming soon, but apparently not.
Thank
you for joining us on the Don't Blink Podcast. Until next time, whenever that may be, please tell all of your best friends all around the doctor's favorite planet known as Earth, whether underground or above ground, tell them all about the Don't Blink Podcast and don't blink.
Don't even blink.
Thank you for listening to Don't Blink, a Doctor Who fan podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network of shows. I'm the Doctor in Utah, and the majestic tale of a madman in a box are used with permission from Silver Screen Records. They are composed by Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Ben Foster. Taken from the original Doctor Who soundtrack, Doctor Who Series 6, available on Silver Screen Records.